right. As you mentioned, my name is Austin Link. I'm with North Dakota State University, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the effects of cropping sequence on pipeline reclamation in western North Dakota, an issue that's probably been in the news for more reasons than one. First, I'm going to start off by giving you an overview, some background information on pipeline reclamation, as you probably don't all have the same background knowledge maybe that I do, being or living in that state, on what pipeline reclamation is, why it's needed, and what's involved in the process. I'll go through an introduction of the specific study that we're conducting at NDSU, a list of objectives that we hope to accomplish, some preliminary results that are going to include yield results from these cropping sequences, and compaction data as well that we took this last season, and then ideas for future project development, where we hope to take it from this point. All this hopefully will give us some management implications that are valuable to landowners and to industry. So just to start off, I'd like to touch on the major impacts that affect reclamation. Starting with improper soil placement and poor reclamation in general, as you can see in this picture, not treating your soil correctly during the reclamation process can have some pretty catastrophic results. Also, proper seeding mixtures when dealing with rangelands and proper crop selection when dealing with cropland. Erosion issues on slopes due to poor stabilization or lack of stabilization. Fences and then grazing or deferment of grazing on those rangelands or even croplands for that matter in regards to reclamation and trying to establish vegetation. And lastly, weeds, which are a problem anywhere you have disturbed soils. Weed management is one of the first concerns that I think a lot of contractors and landowners are dealing with on these sites. Actually, and compaction, which is what we're probably going to address most in this talk. Varying levels of compaction throughout different zones in pipeline reclamation. So it's also important to note that there are differences between agronomic and engineering standards in regards to soil classification and soil profiles. The Williams-Bobel's loam, which exists where we are conducting this study and throughout that region, has an A horizon from 0 to 15 centimeters, and then varying B horizons below that, a BT and a BTK. By engineering standards, that would be called topsoil and subsoil. The topsoil running from 0 to 30 centimeters, the subsoil greater than 30 centimeters. The current policy states that no more than 12 inches of topsoil can be removed and classified that way. However, in the policy, nothing is left up to the interpretation of the excavator or the contractor on what is topsoil and what is not. There aren't a lot of standards that need to be followed. So I think a lot of times what's happening is 12 inches is being removed, regardless of whether it's topsoil, whether it's the A horizon, the B horizon, even the lower B horizon in areas on top of hills and things in western North Dakota and other semi-arid regions. Like I just said, this is often misinterpreted. It's important to understand, I guess, the process of excavation during this pipeline reclamation. Separation usually occurs by placing these different topsoil and subsoil groups on opposite sides of the trench, and there's extreme importance in keeping them separated, and it's not always easy as it sounds, at least for someone operating a dozer or a blade. I just want to have a quick introduction now to the specific study that we're conducting. On May 15th of 2015, a 91-centimeter water pipeline was completed at the Williston REC. This pipeline was 2.4 kilometers in length across our property that we use for plot research and seed increase. And the disturbance was 60 meters wide total, which was much wider than the initial easement had called for. However, that's not a uncommon problem in this area, disturbed areas exceeding what the easement might have called for. We identified three specific disturbance areas. The pipeline itself, which would be the immediate trench, the roadway or the access road adjacent to that was used for equipment access and the installation of the actual pipeline, and then an undisturbed area actually quite a ways out from that, due to the 60-meter disturbance, it was actually probably 100 feet off the access road before we could find something undisturbed. We thought it was important to identify these areas because they had unique soil characteristics that needed to be addressed individually. And we took advantage of this opportunity by coming up with several cropping sequences common to the Mondak region to look at their long-term effects as reclamation practices. Now, as I said before, we came up with these three areas, and you might ask, well, aren't they, you know, they're all disturbed, aren't they? Can't you treat them all the same? And as you can see here, there's this old set of tracks, and this is actually post-top soil, and so you really can't see the worst of it. But you can see how far away the undisturbed area is, and this roadway area and pipeline, all with some unique characteristics in terms of how the soil was put back, what was put back, and that is why we chose to treat those all separately, almost as their own experiment. Here's another photo that depicts that roadway area and the severe compaction. That was actually a little bit earlier in the process. This topsoil pile, you can leave that up to interpretation. I know a lot of you can probably see what's wrong with this picture. The level, the precipitates from the B horizon and even lower that are sitting on top of the topsoil pile. This is supposed to be the growing medium for next year's crop. Maybe you can have some foresight into what our problems might end up being. The objectives of this specific study were to define the reclamation success of a long-term control. What happens if we return this land to the dominant crop in the area, consecutive durum-on-durum rotation? That's not a rotation we recommend at the Research Center. However, that is one of the traditional rotations that probably has the least benefits for soil health that's still being used. We also want to evaluate the effects of several cropping sequences on sustainable on soil health and sustainable crop production. And I say sustainable because this needs to be economic. None of these practices we evaluate will ever be implemented if it doesn't make sense for a producer to do. So doing it for the sake of soil health without any returns isn't going to get a lot of buy-in from the private industry and from producers. The sequences we selected, as I noted earlier, were based on some of the most commonly grown crops in western North Dakota, and evaluated for their ability to improve soil health, fertility, and eventually crop yield. And I say soil health, there's a number of things in soil health that we're going to be looking at. Currently, compaction is one of the main ones. And as you can see, the durum on durum rotation is at the top. We have a four-year rotation with durum, peas, barley, and safflower, all crops common to the area. Safflower are actually being included because we hope to see some beneficial effects from its deep taprooting physiology. We also have a durum cover crop mix rotation and an alfalfa rotation and a perennial grass rotation. All these rotations have unique characteristics and will probably show us different things. However, we will be ending these rotations on year four, and in year five and six, planting durum consecutively there to have a comparison on the major crop in the area. I included these photos so that you could see some of the differences in rooting structure based on these disturbance areas. As you can see, in this cover crop mix, we did have turnips, radishes, a number of other deep rooting things. However, this picture I thought illustrated best what is going on in the soil. I'll show you some data in a minute that backs up that in this roadway, we're seeing root growth down to about 2 inches and then a complete 90 in a taprooted crop that should really penetrate some compacted soils. However, in the undisturbed, you can see it exceeds that depth and has a pretty healthy root structure. Similar in the pipeline as well. However, in the pipeline, we actually are just seeing less of a 90, a more just stunted root growth in general. And you can see that in all of these crops. It goes turnips, peas, and then spring wheat in the last one there. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the compaction issue specifically. The purple line is going to be the pipeline, and the roadway is the blue line, and the undisturbed is the orange line. Now, the purple line and the blue line, they both exceed the zone for which roots become restricted due to compaction. You can also see that the roadway stays past that point for the entire depth that we sampled. The pipeline itself, it passed that threshold. However, what you might expect when you put in a 36-inch water line at 8 feet deep, the profile became pretty homogeneous after 20 centimeters or after 15 centimeters about. So there was a compacted area. However, it actually was fairly homogeneous and got back below that threshold fairly quickly throughout the profile. The undisturbed area, typical what you might expect in a no-till system that is 2 to 3 years into it. We have a small area of compaction that you could call a plow pan. However, that level of compaction we don't think is going to inhibit root growth year-round. And that is something we hope that will alleviate itself through freeze-thaw. But the area of concern is the roadway, something that we really don't think that if you can't get water into it, freeze-thaw isn't necessarily going to take care of that. As far as the performance of the crops, there is a common theme throughout each treatment, and we can't make comparisons until the rotations are complete. But so far, throughout all the treatments, the undisturbed yielded significantly higher than either the pipeline area or this disturbed roadway. I think one instance in the Durham with a previous crop, a cover crop, it yielded the same as the pipeline. But this is what we expect to see due to those extreme disturbance or extreme compaction in the roadway. And then in year one, we had some preliminary data, and it showed the same thing, but with exaggerated results. The yields were really only 25 or 30% of what the undisturbed was in that roadway and pipeline areas. The interesting thing to me was the perennials. We start talking about inputs into a cropping rotation. You know, it's hard to cash flow a wheat crop with prices what they are on disturbed land in a semi-arid region. So I thought, why don't we evaluate perennials, something with a little less input, yet was still an option for some returns. And alfalfa gave us some interesting results, yielding significantly higher biomass than the roadway or undisturbed areas. As far as future development goes for this study, we hope to split these plots with a one-time ripping and a one-time incorporation of manure combined with ripping to, I guess, break up that compacted area if these cropping sequences are unable to do that. We also hope to increase organic matter with this. When no-till soils in our area have 3% organic matter or less, we lose 1% or 1.5% of that. It really makes that soil unproductive. So if we can boost that by making a one-time amendment, it might be cost-effective, especially with something like manure in our region for landowners. As far as the management implications for this study, we hope to create standards for landowners and industry to more accurately define the effects of pipeline reclamation during right-of-way and easement discussions. We also hope to come up with best practices to promote more efficient and successful long-term reclamation. And we want to develop tools or agronomic practices for landowners to improve soil health, fertility, and productivity. Now, with that, I'd be happy to take any of your questions or comments. And our contact information is listed here because I know we don't have all day for questions. And if you want additional information, feel free to contact me.
We have time for questions for Austin.
Yes.
What do you speculate is the reason for that jump in alfalfa yield?
Right. When the pipeline installation occurs, when you dig an 8-foot trench like that, I would expect that you incorporate a lot of oxygen. And that lack of compaction, one is going to probably have a little bit of increased infiltration into that trench as far as water goes, not something you'd expect from that roadway, and even you might be getting the infiltration off the roadway or the water runoff into that pipeline. Now that I don't necessarily think is going to drive it completely, but you are going to have a flush of nutrients the first year you disturb something that deep. And so that, I guess, that production, I don't necessarily expect to be sustainable. I don't see it outproducing the other areas for the next 5 years. However, it doesn't surprise me to have 1 year of high production.